This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation.
The podcast.
Yes.
Ha ha.
Long awaited.
No doubt. What happened to the
I wasn't feeling it. That wasn't something a bottle of wine just commit suicide in the studio. It was kosher wine. Hopefully it's all right. But, yeah, man, we had a bit of a hold up. Kind of took the exuberance out of my, you know, and some of these years don't always be real exuberant.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? I just felt like I was locked into that shit.
Just because you had been doing it?
Yeah.
So, you know, you looking everything, for a change?
Everything changes, yeah. Something different.
So we just coming through.
Mm-hmm.
This is Damian Lemon.
There it is. I came with a little bit more, you know, gusto than that. It wasn't all the way NPR. Well, let the people tell us.
No doubt.
Let us know in the thing. But how you, man?
I'm doing real good.
Yeah?
Man. Yeah, man. Closed out the summer strong.
Summer, yeah?
Mm-hmm. With a whole lot of school shopping. And, you know what I'm saying, my neighbor, my man Lloyd Porter.
Okay.
Did an impromptu crab boil barbecue yesterday.
Oh, that's official.
So that, you know, man, we rolled out into the sunset eating crabs on the block,
that's
drinking,
nice.
You know what I mean?
Crab broil.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
That mean you boil crabs in a pot.
Oh, you boil them?
Yeah, crab boil, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Now, because people do different things. Some people boil crabs. I steam them.
I know you're a connoisseur. This was I guess it's steam, but it's in a pot. But they call it a crab boil.
Yeah. No, but there are people that actually boil a crab in, like, water and not steam it. So I was curious about which technique this person used.
I have no idea what's the real technique. I know he was using the deep fryers to do whatever the fuck he was doing. Mm-hmm. But he did say he steamed them. But I was just happy he did it because, you know, it was a perfect ending.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it was collective. You know, collectively, when you get Brooklyn people in on a block, mm-hmm. You get a couple phones and the aux cord, and, you know what I mean, some speakers and you know, some food, drink. It just turned into a Brooklyn affair.
Nice little situation,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, you know, it's always a learning affair because I'm from Miami. So, you know, you start dealing with people who are from Brooklyn and, you know, born and raised and grew up in the culture and, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, the house music, and they come with the, you know, this was the Paradise Garage vibe, and I got schooled on it yesterday.
A little Larry LeVan and
a little, lot of Larry LeVan knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Even I shot a little documentary on that for Terrence Nance and Red Bull.
Okay.
Terrence Nance was directing, and I shot a lot of this little mini documentary.
Right.
And but it's hard to connect to it when you weren't there, you know what I'm saying? So it's like an era when you were alive, but it was a local movement. So, you know, I wasn't in New York for the movement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to connect to it, you know. But when you see people in real life and they start breaking it down how it was and what it was like, he told me, he was like, yo, we would leave. Now I'd come home from work, take a nap. Mm-hmm. My man would call me at 1 a.m. We'd get up, go to the city, bullshit around, get into the club around about 4:00.
Mm-hmm.
That's what time they get to the club.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He was a member. You had to have a membership to go to the Paradise Garage. And so you could bring 4 people with you as a member.
Interesting.
So he would charge the people he brought with him $10 a piece to go in with him. Then they pay to get in.
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting because I never heard that take on it. You
know I never know about the membership thing. My sister was a big Paradise Garage cat. And my brother-in-law, they used to go. That's kind of that era. You know what I mean? I didn't know you had to have a membership.
Yeah, when I shot the little thing, people had their member cards and all that from all the way back then in the 80s.
That's cool.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he was just saying they would get there 4 in the morning. I'm like, damn, you get there 4 in the morning. What time you leave? Right. Oh, like 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit.
Heavy drugs.
You know what I'm saying? Heavy drugs, but just heavy
drugs in the punch.
It was like the drugs had their own corners. You know what I'm saying? Like the people who did this was over here and the people who did that. But a lot of people, you know, just in that, you know what I'm saying?
High off life.
Getting it in.
Right.
A lot of dancing and having a good time.
Yeah.
And then he was just breaking down the music and and how, you know, it wasn't just black or white. It was just, you know, you never knew what you was going to hear. When you came in there. Okay. So it was interesting because he was playing all these deep cuts that, you know, you might have heard off in the wind or just vaguely heard it before, but it's not something that you hear often.
It wasn't a celebrated where you heard it at.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, where I was from, I hadn't never heard that shit. I didn't hear none of that shit until I came to New York. Like, when you're in New York, you start hearing, you know, different DJs playing some of that stuff. But I'd never experienced house music like that beyond the basic, you know what I'm saying, house music all night long. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't my house music exposure was very basic. I got the fam, and it was more of the Chicago house that they were playing. Because, you know, you had like cats like DJ Vince Adams and stuff like that playing some of the Chicago house and Lil Lewis and shit like that. But the New York house scene was a whole lot different. It was a different vibe. So, you know, it was a trip. You know, they was breaking that shit down yesterday. So it was cool. You know, the sun was setting. You know what I'm saying? You breaking down crab, you know, drinking brew, listening to the motherfucking stories of the Paradise Garage. And you know what I'm saying? It was dope. It was a nice way to end the summer.
Yeah, nice little way to roll the credits, huh?
You know what I'm saying?
That's cool.
Bring up the new year. This is the Happy New Year.
That's right.
Happy New Year.
Brand new season.
Brand new year. Kids starting school. It's all good.
How you feeling about that?
I'm feeling real good because, shit, now I could get work done. You know, I work out of the house. So when your kid's home for the summer, that means your work get a little, you know what I mean?
It was imposing.
Yeah, it's not, you know, a lot of concentrating you could do when, you know what I'm saying, daddy, can we do this? Can we do that? What's for lunch? What's for dinner? What's for breakfast? You know, that, you know, gets in the way a little bit. So when school get back, everybody get back to business. You know what I mean? There's nobody there to interrupt you from doing your business.
I got to go speak to some eighth graders coming up pretty soon.
What you talking about?
I don't know. I really don't know. Shout out to my man, Wes Manchild, because he...
Oh, you going to Philly?
Nah. I'm going out in elsewhere in Queens. But he gave me some ideas because, you know, he worked with kids. So I'm just trying to figure out what we're going to talk about or what the presentation is. You know, I typically work blue. You know, so I can't be, you know, in the eighth grade with some of the material that I use in the nightclub. So I got to get back. Basically, yo, you want to come through and speak to my kids? That's one of those type of situations. I said, all right, I'm going to find out what the full context is, but I'm going to give them a general, you know, sky's the limit, man. Just focus and work hard. You know what I mean? I'm gonna give it a little bit more flair to that, but I think that's going to be the thrust of my talk at this moment. And then I'm gonna find out what they listening to, what's going on, what y'all rocking with. I'm trying to figure it out. What would you say? You got a eighth grader? Don't you have an eighth grader? Former eighth grader. So you got a former eighth grader and soon to be eighth grader.
I got a ninth grader and a fifth grader.
What are they talking about in the eighth grade? What's going on?
I have no, man. They talk about games, TV, and then my son was like a nerd, so he talking about, you know, nerd shows and
nerd shows.
Yeah, you know, like
nerd show,
like Stranger Things, and you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Other little shit like that.
nerd shows.
No, he's self proclaimed.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Nerd is the new. It's cool now.
Yeah, he lives up to all aspects of it. So you know,
right?
It's all good. You know, I don't know what the fuck, man. I don't know how to talk to kids, man. I told you, motherfucker need to have some heartbreaking bills before they can talk to me and understand.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I'm gonna figure it out. What's gonna happen?
Kid had to have been here before to understand my shit. Like,
right.
So that's why I don't get invited to talk to the kids.
Because you keep it too real. They like, don't know more.
You know what I'm saying?
These kids were traumatized.
Like, what the fuck? That's how I was. Like, people trauma. Like, my dad didn't talk to us like kids. He taught us like grown-ass people. He taught them parables and shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying? When you go out in the world, go out there, keep your head on the swivel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? I'm 5 years old. I don't know what that mean.
Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? And then we was in second grade. Our teacher, Miss Bickin, she put on this movie. Like, Miss Bickin, at a certain point in the year, she just gave up. She just started playing movies and shit. After lunch, we just watch a movie. Then it'd be time to go home. So
she probably got high.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what probably the fuck she was on, but she was tired of dealing with us.
She was like, yo, let's watch fucking Cheech and Chong.
But basically, she put on this movie called Dead is Dead. And that shit was clearly not supposed to be for second graders. You know what I'm saying? So Dead is Dead was about drugs.
Uh-huh.
And the shit started off with a motherfucker. The opening scene was a dude ODing on the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see it. With Godfrey Cambridge from 1974.
I don't know what the fuck it was and who the fuck it was.
Yeah.
But that shit was too much for a second grader. It was a drug over. And then in the end, they had this one girl who was going to the pharmacy, mm-hmm, to pick up her grandma's prescription for herself.
Right.
And she took the prescription and she was ODing and shit. And she was climbing up. Just like on the way home, they started playing Lean on Me.
Mm. Doom,
doom, doom, doom,
that's when
doom,
you knew she was going to die.
Doom. And then the whole time they got the narrator on there. Can she make it? Can she make it to her floor? You know what I'm saying? She throwing up and shit. That shit was traumatizing, dog.
Back in the day, though, that used to be all of that propaganda was supposed to scare the shit out of you. That was what it was for.
But it was too much for us. It was like for high school at least. Because that shit was way too much. When I looked it up later in life, once the internet came, this was supposed to be for 14 and up.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be for. But you know, it's
Miss
a different
Bickin
time
didn't
now
give a fuck.
Miss Bickin was Bickin back being boo.
She was, what the fuck did you just
that's
say?
That's the old, you never heard that from YG? Bickin back being boo? You never heard that before? Shout out to YG.
I don't even know what you said, let alone how to heard.
That's
it.
Some old, some
crip shit.
Some blood,
some blood
shit. Some blood shit. Some blood, some blood musical. You know.
No doubt.
Anyway.
Yeah, so that shit was way too much.
Sometimes you gotta scare the shit out of these kids.
Maybe that's what you need to do.
I mean, shit, these, you know.
Motherfucker, you will be broke.
I mean, you know what I mean? That's how
you will bump your motherfucking head. You don't get this shit right.
Right.
You got a chance now to understand how to get this shit right. You understand
me? You smoke crack, don't you? That's the best shit ever, Joe. You smoke crack? No, we jump. Nigga, you jump. He was like, no, Mr. Clark, I don't. You smoke crack, don't you? That's concern at the highest level. I'm so tired of being concerned with your ass. Jump off this fucking roof so I can take you off of my slate.
You know what I'm saying?
Of kids I care about.
That's what it is. You got to go in there with the real.
Shit, man. Shout out to all of the teachers and mentors and people speaking to the youth and guiding them and giving them knowledge and inspiration. You know what I mean? If you got any good things I could say to these kids, drop them in the comments. I'm building my set now.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's weird because I was just talking to one of my neighbors who was at the thing yesterday, and she produces.
Uh-huh.
But like kids shows, like big kids shows that y'all have seen before.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Backyardigans and, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
she on Sesame Street. Like, they got a new show that they doing. And I was telling her about the shit I was doing. She was like, you got any kids shows?
Uh-huh.
And I just had to, you know what I'm saying? You know, it probably was against my own best producer mind. But
like, I don't fuck with kids.
No, 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 I don't fuck with kids. But I respect the kids' game.
Oh, it's different.
To say, you know what I'm saying? You can't just change your mind and make a kid show. You know what I'm saying? As easy as that shit sound, you will fuck it up. You won't do it right unless you get in the mindset. You got to get into the right mindset to do shit for kids, man.
I'm going to tell you this, though. Well, two things. When I was a kid, I always wanted to make a kid show. Because when I was a kid, I was always watching the shows that was for kids. And I could be like,
these niggas ain't kids. Like, I could see it. Like, I could watch this shit. I'm like, y'all ain't living this shit. Like, you could tell if it was some adults that was, or if they had some kids, and you'd be like, okay, that's real. That you could see.
Right.
And I was like, yo, I can't wait to do this shit. Now I feel too old. Now I feel like my shit would be off.
Yeah.
So I got to consult. I got to have some kids. But I do appreciate... I appreciate a good coming of age story.
No, a coming of age story,
especially when it's done well.
A coming of age story, I could do, like okay. like a,
because it's like a time capsule.
Yeah, but it's like you about to be an adult. You high school young adult. You know what I'm saying? You not 8 years old.
When do you come of age?
That's like when you come of age.
Is that what is that? 18?
Yeah,
is that
when you start to get grown? When you start coming into yourself?
Oh well, I'm thinking of more than like I'm thinking like
Breakfast Club and all that shit.
Yeah, I was thinking Stand By Me or you know, like there's good show like kid joints like Stand By Me. That was always great. Boys in the Hood had
Boys
that
in the
beginning.
Hood is coming of
they
age.
Had that beginning, but then they got the came of age. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about like Super Bad. When it's done right, that shit is hilarious. When it's talking about that little bit of anxiety of when you was a kid, the little dumb shit that you thought meant everything, like when you watched The Wonder Years or when you watched that Atlanta episode.
Like they got eighth grade now. I haven't seen it yet.
That shit is good.
But that's, you know what I'm saying? But I did this piece. I did not even in one video. We had to produce some music for this curriculum.
Right.
And it's called Kinder Jam. And that shit was the hardest shit I've ever worked on. Because it's not easy to put your mind, like motherfucker tell you, all right, we need to do some shit on the motherfucking ABCs or addition or some shit like that. It's not that easy to put your mind in the mind frame of somebody that young to make something good to connect to that person that young. It's just a disconnect, and you had to really, really dig deep to get into it. And by the time, you know, we got into it, it was good, but that shit wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. So if motherfuckers say, can you do a kid show? I bow down and motherfucker pay my respects to the motherfuckers who could do that shit, because that's not something I could do on a right now, on-demand basis.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I could take time and really research and get something done, but I ain't got nothing on the slate like that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because I would have loved to be like, oh, yeah, I got blah, blah, because I know she right in the mix, and they do it at the highest level.
Right. Well, that's what's up.
But I'll circle back.
Yeah, you got it. It takes a definitely that's an expertise. Mm-hmm. It definitely takes a certain level of patience.
Like, everybody can't be Mr. Rogers, man.
Nah, I heard that Mr. Rogers documentary is really good too.
Yeah, I did too.
My mom's didn't really fuck with Mr. Rogers like that.
Thought he was a creep.
Yeah, he wasn't the biggest fan.
I could see that.
Yeah, I kind of thought he was cool though, because he had he had play clothes. He had regular clothes. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like
he was like you.
Yeah, he was like a regular kid. That's how kids was. You come home from school, you get into your play clothes and shit. His shit was a little bit more dapper, though. He was having a mean pair of clods that was... Them shits looked dead stock. Uncle Mr. Rogers. Hey, kids, go to the land of make-believe. Oh, man. Shout out to that, man.
Yeah, I heard that doc was real good.
Yeah, man. shout out to Parlor Live out in Bellevue, Washington. Thanks for having me. I had a good time out there on the Pacific West Coast.
No dig, yeah.
Always had fun. I did a little quick Seattle run through that Sunday.
You like it out there?
I do, man. I like the weather. I like the sensibility. Not the weather. I always catch it when it's not raining. I always hear Seattle. You know, they known for their rain, but I've never really been out there when it's super rainy.
Mm-hmm.
I like that nice fall weather. I like a good tree. I like trees and shit, you know. it's a little vibe out there. It was chill. I went to my little run through the public market, Pike Place. Do that whole little Seattle.
And that's what
first Starbucks and all that. Yeah.
You went to the first Starbucks?
Nah, I seen it. You see it. This shit is.
You see it, but you ain't going.
Nah,
it was crowded.
It's always a line, and it's like a Starbucks.
Right.
You know what I mean? Well, it's just the first one. You can see it.
This
shit is just like a fucking Starbucks. And then, Starbucks ain't really all the way in favor right now. You know what I'm saying? I can't
wait
be on
a day off for the blacks.
Yeah, but that shit, I don't know. I don't know if that was enough time. It's enough good coffee in Seattle. That's what they know for, Seattle coffee.
Okay.
If you on your coffee shit. But I walked through there, made it out to this restaurant, June Baby, which I'd been hearing about. That was pretty good. It's actually very good, the food, you know. And shit, that was it. I had a good time. It was funny, though. That was like, I get back here, it's fucking 86 degrees. I'm out there, that shit's like 61, yeah, you know? So that shit,
hot as shit out here.
This shit is, I'm ready for this to be all the way done. But it's a fucking summer to fade all the way out. You just still hear the drums
just
of summer.
Just a few months ago, niggas was wishing it got hot.
I told you I'm a transitional weather cat. I told y'all that. Speaking of, let me tell you some shit. This gonna get weird. Not weird, but you know I fuck with crabs, and I was eating crabs. I've been eating had a few deliveries this summer. But I found this more than the second or third time I thought about this shit. I was sitting there eating, maybe I was overindulging, but I was like, yo, crabs ain't nothing but sea roaches.
Nah, man.
If you really look at how you break the shit down. And well,
but that's how I be looking at shrimp. Shrimp is a sea roach.
Yeah, all of that shit is.
He got the whiskers and shit.
The crab got all types of the fucking, you niggas call it the mustard, but you don't know what that shit is, shit. What,
all in the middle.
All that shit in the middle. That just, either you put it to the side or you just slurp it and don't give a fuck.
I wipe that shit all
the
way off.
Yeah, so I be going in sometimes. I put it on the cracker. And that shit is probably all just crab
shit.
They said
it's eggs.
No, the other one is eggs. The orange is the eggs, the roe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, I don't be fucking with all that. I don't get that deep into the crab.
I was like, this shit here.
I'm good for a king crab leg. Snow crab leg.
Yeah.
Give me the clusters already clustered out.
I'm still a blue crab. That's number one with me.
We was eating blue crabs yesterday, though.
The blue crab is, you know, it's definitely going to work a little bit, but I think it's the most flavorful. Most flavorful.
You think?
Yeah, absolutely.
That king crab to me is...
It's good, too.
I don't know, dog.
It's good, too. It's different. It's different. I don't know. It's close.
No doubt.
Fucking power. I mean, I'm just watching this shit just to the end of the season because I'm already this far in. But this shit jumped. It's so fucking silly now. It's a silly ass show.
I can't say it's silly.
This is
but silly. It's definitely doing a lot. What I was saying earlier before we got on the cast was that, you know, now I think they feel like they have to do something shocking every week. It's like no more character building, no more building the life of these people. I used to see a little more of Ghost life, you know what I'm saying? Do he even go to work now? Or he just deal with drama? You know what I'm saying?
That's
his job. He don't go to work, he don't go to club. He ain't been in the club the whole season.
Nah, he at the club all the time. He always had the meeting with
But they ain't been in the. They ain't did shit at the club. They ain't had no.
He's always at the club when he meets.
They ain't
Tate.
Open the doors to that bitch.
The club. Now the club is working. The club
yeah,
is
but we don't, we ain't, there's no. The club ain't in the storyline this year. You know what I'm saying? It's just background.
Right.
Like he ain't making no new moves. And he talking about this building in Queens. They ain't doing shit. They just talk about that. You know what I'm saying? So everything is a big drama. Everything. It's no regular shit. So it's just like very soap opera-ish.
That's what I mean. And it's like, yes. It's just, and then I don't even know. It's kind of like, I forget everything you set up. It's all the shit that was set up. So, and everybody just so casual. Angela, like,
yeah,
and
she just
they put the
creeping
folder.
This nigga in the house every night now. Like,
everybody knock on the door. Like, everybody.
Like, it's just a free fall. Like, no, dang, she don't think that they're going to be watching her.
It's just ridiculous.
They ain't got no security
it's
cameras
to get
at
ridiculous.
Her building. No doorman, nothing.
Started, yeah.
Yeah, that shit's a trip. But it is what it is. What else you going to do? You got to watch some black people on TV.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, man. Insecure. Then they switching the whole thing on us.
What you mean?
They look like they just changing the whole shit. because she quit her job, so all those people go away. Molly got a new job, so those new people. Dro right. ain't on there no more, really.
Yeah.
No, Lawrence ain't there.
Mm-hmm.
We got the new dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So she,
young Malcolm X.
So she moved into the new apartment. So it's a new apartment.
Right.
Daniel out of the picture. You know what I mean? Yeah,
Tina.
She about to get a new job, I guess.
Yeah, it's a new cast of characters.
Yeah, it's just a whole new thing now.
I'm not mad at it, though.
I'm not either. Like I'm just saying it's switching over.
Yeah.
It's switching over.
It's definitely documenting a lot of black Los Angeles. Like, I like that they showed Essawan Books, the spot out in Leimert Park and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, they showing little spots and shit. I thought that was cool. I'm not even a taco man, but they were saying a barbecue salmon taco.
Right.
I'll check it out. I'll see what that was about.
No doubt.
You fuck with tacos?
People go crazy over tacos. I don't get the wave.
I don't get the taco lust. People love that shit.
I mean, everything, like in gentrified Brooklyn, every restaurant opening up is a taqueria.
Yeah, well, like, yeah.
Burritos, tacos, baby. Yeah. Trucks, restaurants. It's like cafes now.
Yo, speaking of that, Nathan's and now In-N-Out have donated money to the GOP. Nathan's donated money to Trump. In-N-Out donated money to the GOP. Are you still fucking with either?
I wasn't fucking with them either way.
You wasn't fucking with In-N-Out?
No. I only been to In-N-Out one time to get my kids some fucking burgers the last time I was in L.A.
No.
I never even tasted it myself. So
you
In-N-Out,
never had it in your life?
No.
In-N-Out.
I have been to Fat Burger, but I never been to In-N-Out. And Nathan's, that shit, what is it, Coney Island? I mean, they got some good hot dogs when you buy them in the store. But I don't eat no hot dogs like that. I don't know the last time I bought some hot dogs. All right,
well.
So, motherfucker, shit. All
right.
Mama made a motherfucker, shit. Fuck it.
Colin Kaepernick, Nike. Nike done supported,
It's interesting.
It's
part of the campaign that they had with Serena and her daddy, and you know what I'm saying? Who else was it in that campaign?
Odell Beckham Jr.
Right. I mean,
it's the same campaign they've been doing for the last 30 years.
It's the 30th anniversary of that campaign.
Oh, okay. Well,
so that's what this is. This is the 30th anniversary of the Just Do It campaign. I mean, unless they was just saving it for this, they're a little motherfucking late for my taste. To be, you know what I'm saying, showing Kaepernick love after 2 years out the league and ain't nobody fucking with him. Why you wasn't supporting that motherfucker the first when he was in the league?
The way they tweeting about Nike, you think Nike freed the slaves the way they like, yo, Nike did it. Yeah.
Buying stocks, baby.
They just picked the right motherfucker.
I mean, they got the timing. You know what I'm saying? They waited for the right time.
For the
after
court.
They done calmed down a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Court case to go his way.
Court case is going his way a little bit. The football season is on its way back. You know what I'm saying? Some new
money to get.
Yeah, so I mean it's good timing. But you know, it's still corporate motherfuckers trying to make a dollar.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
who knows what from my understanding though, the best thing I heard out of this whole shit was that they had never stopped paying them.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, so you know. At least, you know what I'm saying, he was getting his check.
Yeah.
But they damn sure won, you know what I'm saying, high sign on. And they good for that. You know what I'm saying? When Kobe went through his shit, they waited it out and then came back.
Didn't they wait it out? Did they get rid of Tiger or they kept down?
Nah, they waited Tiger out. You know what I'm saying? They told motherfuckers, they actually said, hey, listen now.
We're going to be with him.
We still good with him. You know what I'm saying? They let it be known with Tiger.
We made a lot of money with this guy.
You know what I'm saying? They let it be known with Tiger.
That's what's
They held on. What's Mike Vick down? Even though they kind of, you know what I'm saying? They kind of dropped him in the beginning.
They kind of quietly stepped away, but they kept the check coming.
Yeah, but when he came back, they was fully behind him again. Not in no big-ass campaign. Pain, but he was still on the roster. They you know what I'm saying? They didn't even drop him all the way.
I don't know about that one, because when they retroed him, they don't say his name.
They do that with a lot of motherfuckers.
Bo Jackson and Charles, they'll say CB. They'll say Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if they say Charles Barkley. They say CB at least. Anyway.
You know, they do a lot of shit to their own favor.
Yeah, 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 man.
You know what I'm saying?
Salute to monetizing the movement, I guess. I hope that with the money and with the cat, with Colin being the face of the Just Do It campaign, I hope that there's a little bit more a little bit more information spread about what exactly this man is protesting for, because I think it gets conflated with this whole military shit when that's not the thing. Well, I would like for Nike to, like, let him somehow use your platform to actually publish what it is he said. Because, like, if you go on his website, right, that was always, if you go on his website, you find out what the whole cause is about. Mm-hmm. And it clearly defines it. I feel like if we're going to do some type of merchandise or something like that, then on the hang tag it should be clearly, mm-hmm, this is what I kneel for, blah blah blah, right. this is what we're trying to raise awareness about, like, right. Really go all out with that.
And I think that has already started, because right before we came in, one of the trending topics was Kaepernick, and they were basically saying how, let's not forget that, you know, he consulted with Marines guy that basically helped him come to the decision to kneel.
To kneel, right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think people are coming back around, I guess, with the backlash. You know, on one side you got people burning shoes, and then on the other side people like, damn, what the fuck y'all burning shoes for? Because this is what it's about, not that. So I think just the awareness, what Mikey did was lend its heavy hand globally to create the conversation.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know what I'm saying? So the conversation is going in a way where you got to talk about all sides of it. And they don't have to really get into it, because they already like, ha-ha, this is it. Y'all check it out and do what you do. So I think it was a good thing what Nike did, you know what I'm saying, to help the conversation go. And I think they did it, you know what I'm saying, within their own timing and within their own, you know, risk averseness. You know what I'm saying? They took a little time to gauge it and weigh it.
Right.
And let it get to a point where, you know, it has simmered down, and then they can ramp it back up on their own terms. Mm-hmm. You know? Because people, like, they do that shit a lot. It was a trip when they did it with Kobe, though. That was the one that I paid attention to. And where, when Kobe was going through it, you know what I'm saying, they fell all the way back, of course. You know what I'm saying? And then once his case was, you know, finally settled and, you know, he wasn't going to jail, they had to figure out how to bring him back into the fold, because he was still playing. He was still hooping. And it was interesting that they used LeBron to help bring Kobe back. Mm. People don't remember that shit. Because when they did the little Muppets, because they didn't use his face, they used the Muppets. Remember they did the little Muppets, and they had the LeBron Muppet and the Kobe Muppet, and they was talking about the ring?
Kind of. Yeah.
That campaign was the campaign that they was bringing him back into the fold.
Interesting.
So they didn't use him. They used those characters, the LeBron Muppet and the Kobe Muppet. Mm-hmm. And then after that was going, then ESPN did some bullshit-ass documentary of how good friends Kobe and LeBron was. It was weird. It was like, what the fuck is y'all talking about? Like, about we are good friends. Like, we finna do this for an hour? Like, you know what I'm saying?
They did that one with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, did a damn 30 for 30 about how they played against each other and then finally got real cool and all that.
Yeah, but that was a 30 for 30 historical document. This was some old made up shit. That was an EPK from right now.
That's your man, right?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's my man. You know what I'm saying? We talk on the phone all the time. Like, man, get the fuck out of here with that shit. But it worked. They brought Kobe back into the fold and it was all good. Nobody wasn't talking about that shit no more.
That 81 points helped too.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, all right. Well, we'll see what happens with that. What? I never was a fan of Kobe sneakers.
I actually like them better now.
Yeah,
I actually like them now more than I did when they were out.
What's different? Or just
it's just styles have changed a little bit. All the shoes are kind of looking like that now. Like the KD is like a similar, like, silhouette. you know, the low top basketball sneaker.
Kyrie is similar
in that vein. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
They did have one. I actually didn't dislike them, actually. My son had a pair of them. I thought they were pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, not you're going to wear for no style. It wasn't like Jordans or no shit, but as a basketball sneaker, I thought it was pretty fly.
From what I understand, they like really performance oriented. Like he's on it. Like I want this. Like there's a reason why most of them shits are always low top. He supposedly plays in better in a low top and right. All of this other stuff. You know. But yeah, it ain't my flavor.
I mean, none of these shoes is really your flavor. Like what basketball shoe that's out now is flavor.
I don't even know what basketball shoes is
like now. LeBron.
I was thinking about that. You KD's. Know, they don't really even do basketball sneaker commercials no more. You realize that?
Nah.
Remember, like, you know, remember you used to watch, like, I think we talked about this before, but you'd watch, like, the finals, and it'll be maybe fourth quarter, and whatever team is down by three, we got to play that motherfucking commercial because we got to rally the troops. This is what it's all about. This is what we all came for. Da-da-da-da-da. The new LeBron or the new KD, the new Steph Curry, whatever the fuck. None of that. They just let it ride. Back in the day, that was the point to where, okay, let's get this shit. Game seven, let's sell some sneakers. I guess they
selling their sneakers on the court. Online. They got social media, all that shit, man. They don't need that shit no more.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Cats are making a commercial for them. But yeah, ain't no real, like, no real flavor basketball sneakers on the court.
Not that I could think
of. For like regular day life right now.
Not that I could think of. I might be overthinking. I might be overlooking something. I don't pay that much attention to basketball sneakers.
I kind of like the new LeBrons that they got coming out. Mm-mm. Not the ones with the rough.
I know which ones look the new ones.
Those little slick looking ones.
Yeah.
They cool. Look like something cool. I don't know if I wear them, but they look cool. Like for a cool, they like a little cool older dude. You know what I'm saying? Going to the cookout and shit. Real fly. Got the new LeBron on.
That's
shit.
Too specific. That's too specific an outing to buy the shoe on. You ever do that shit? You ever be buying some bullshit and you know you shouldn't buy this shit? Or it's some shit in your closet that you want to throw out, but it's you like, you know what, I'm going to hold on to this shit because you never know. A nigga might go ahead to a brunch out there in the Hamptons where a nigga. And it's like, fam, if you ain't going to do that shit, get rid of that.
Yeah, they look nice, though. It's just like a specific kind of style. Like
I've seen them.
It's like a high top. A high top is very specific anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Especially if it's bulky.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah, but it looked like they slimmed it down, and it ain't as bulky as the last ones.
Well, yo, you know what, though? Bulky, baggy jeans is coming back. I don't know if you see that shit.
Yeah, I mean, bell bottoms is back, if you really want to get down to it.
That shit is back.
I'm not going for it.
I'm not going to bell bottom it out.
You going baggy?
If I got some old shit at the
get back, you're going to bring it back, look like with your dad hat and some old-ass guest jeans and shit.
That's what's working. If I ain't got to reinvest.
You still got that shit in your closet?
I got a couple old things. You know, I'm a hoarder. So I got some shit. I don't got a whole lot. I actually threw out quite a bit. I didn't go all the way through the cycle. But it's good to see this shit. You always hear shit goes in the cycle.
Right.
But like, to live it is different now. To live it is different. And, you know, it just... You know, I've been investing in the market a little bit, right? So I've been trying to pay attention to patterns and behavior and how businesses move and how styles change and, you know, and it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting. It's just, you know, what you're paying attention to and what you're willing to gamble on, you know?
So you about to gamble on the what's them jeans? JNCO, whatever.
No, I'm not doing that.
Get you some JNCO.
I'm not gonna buy no new baggy shit. I'm just saying because some of the shit that I'm seeing there was hot. First of all, I'm not trying to dress hot. You know what I mean? Like that's for a younger motherfucker. But some of the shit that I see is hot, is shit that I know for sure I took to Goodwill right. within the last 10 years.
Right, no doubt.
I'm like, ain't this a motherfucker? I didn't let this stock go too early. I could have put this shit on Grail. Fuck out of here. I ain't need to take it to Goodwill.
Only thing I got left that I feel like, you know what I'm saying, when the comeback uh-huh. is going to be good is this iceberg butter leather I got. And I would wear it because it's still, the silhouette is good, but it got Scooby-Doo on the front of that motherfucker. Way,
you know, that's what Iceberg did.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, when the iceberg come back around.
Back to the tip of the iceberg.
You know, I'm going to slang it.
That's what's up. That's good, too.
Ain't got one piece.
But got a little heritage piece.
Yeah, it's a high-end heritage, yeah, like that butter leather. I'm actually in the market for a butter leather.
For
a
butter leather?
For the fall. You know what I'm saying? Remember when the butter leather polo was the
item. That shit was the item.
I'm in the market for something, not poloing per se, but that style.
He's always had that shit always tied to the thing, the little butter leather polo.
Oh yeah, with the cord.
With the little cord, because motherfuckers was going for it. Come through with the wire cutters.
You know what I'm saying? I seen a Bally butter leather on the eBay.
On the low, it came and went, but Bally did a nice little collab with Swiss Beats where he put out a few nice little...
Sneakers?
Sneakers and, like, jackets. He put these little varsity kind of jackets, leather and wool varsity jackets, which was kind of fire. A couple of them.
Look that up. I might want to hit the fall with a nice little butter.
Yeah,
I ain't had that look.
Tis, you know, the season.
In a long time, since the 90s.
That's good. But when you get that first scuff in that butter leather, nigga, I remember I got my first, I had a nice brown butter, like coffee. A coffee butter leather. And I remember the first time, I forget how I got the scuff in that bitch. But that shit was like a fucking wine stain. It wasn't that, but that's how apparent it was.
Right.
The shit was smooth. That shit killed me, nigga.
The best shit about the butter, especially like when it's new, when it's newer, and it still smell like leather.
Oh, yeah.
And you come through smelling like leather and cologne and shit.
Opulence.
With the gold chain on. That shit right there, that was how you come through.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to bring that back a little bit. Maybe not with my gold chain, ain't gonna be as big. But you know, I just wanna come through with smelling like, you know, saying cow's
money.
Ass.
Cow's ass? Hilarious. Come through smelling like cow ass. That sound like an ignorant rap lyric, man.
Oh man.
Shout out to Don Q. He put out that Don Season 2. I fuck with it. Also, I already know, I'm pretty sure you didn't jump into it, but have you seen this white rapper beef that's been going on?
Eminem and MGK?
Eminem, MGK, and G-Eazy.
I ain't see G-Eazy was...
G-Eazy and MGK, well, MGK battled like going at both of them, or I guess Eminem went at MGK.
I heard the Eminem song, he went at everybody.
Right.
He covered the whole gamut.
Right.
Black, white.
The whole
soft
shit.
Whatever.
Right. So he went, which one thing that I you listened to the album?
I skimmed through the album. I listened to that song, though.
Okay.
I listened to that song and got kind of hyped because I had never heard an Eminem record that made me feel like, goosebumps
spitting.
And shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? How everybody talk about it, I never had that feeling. But when I heard that first song, I was like, ooh, okay.
Mm.
And then once I got past that into the rest of the album, it was kind of like, it's Eminem.
I think, I mean, honestly, I feel like that's been Eminem for the longest time. I think that Rap God album had that same thing where me and Eminem, I'm like, Eminem's technically ill.
I mean,
like,
technically, he...
Some technical, all of that type of shit, he could do that all day. His beats is a little too dramatic and haunting for me. There's too much angst. For a nigga to be this successful, it's a little too much insecurity.
Sound like MGK.
But I'm just saying, yo.
I mean, I just don't like when he just be in a therapy session the whole fucking album.
Right.
Oh, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, by the 12th song, you kind of through with it. But them first two, three records, there is a moment where you like, damn, M be spitting. Like, he a rap enthusiast. You know how when you listen to Black Thought do his 10, 15-minute freestyle, you like, this motherfucker here he into this.
Right.
Right. yeah, so anyway, so what I peeped about the shit, because for a minute I was looking at it from the sideline, I'm like, I don't even want to get involved with this shit. I don't give a fuck. But then, man, shout out to West Manchild again. He was like, hey, fuck it, you should check it out. He said MGK kind of got at him. So I listened to the MGK. First of all, it's MGK Funkmaster Flex freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And he was getting busy on that shit. And then I see the little MGK Eminem shit. We walking around with the shovel.
Right.
I guess he dug a hole for this motherfucker. But I will say this. MGK's a lot better than I gave him credit for.
I ain't know shit about MGK.
I seen him around.
My first time actually really listening to him.
I actually defended that motherfucker on Guy Court. You know what I mean? But he was actually my client. So I've been around him. He's a cool cat, but I never really paid attention to him musically.
Right.
And I was like, all right, son. He kind of, and it's going to be interesting. I do want to see what Eminem's going to say, because I do like when Eminem is in battle. He gets crazy with it, so who give a fuck? You seem like you about to go to sleep already.
No. I just, you know, I mean, all this rapping just to be rapping and all that shit is cool, but that ain't my shit.
Nah, ain't, man. What's your shit?
I mean, I like a motherfucker to tell me, take me through life a little bit.
Narrative.
Like, not even necessarily a narrative, but just, you know what I'm saying? I like to know what kind of motherfucker I'm dealing with when you're dealing with a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Right. I like a rapper who could explain his position and his point and where he falls within the black spectrum of people.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like.
Black spectrum.
Yeah. But, you know, Eminem, you know what I'm saying? He's not going to fall into that spectrum, of course. But he will, you know what I'm saying, give you the technicalities, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, yeah, you practice real hard, you good, you know what I'm saying? That's how it sounds, even though I know he's nice. And he's technically a great MC and all that shit, and it's not exclusive to blacks no more and shit like that. I understand all that shit, you know what I mean?
You just saying, rapper racist?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, I haven't heard the white rapper that gave me goosebumps off the shit he said, right, because it really put in perspective something in life that I really was fucking with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or really, you know what I'm saying, gained a perspective on. You know what I'm saying? What they doing, you know what I'm saying, been in movies and it's just like, you know, that angst and that, you know what I mean? I'll kill everybody up in this motherfucker via serial killer style. Oh, I'm gonna take all these pills and go to rehab. Yeah, I mean,
you don't like the method of destruction.
I mean, you see that? You go watch. I can watch Shameless and get that.
Hilarious. I used to be white rapper racist. You know, I thought about this shit this weekend when the whole shit was going on, because I was in Seattle. Which, you know, that's Washington. That's white
capital.
That's white Africa.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But so I'm out there. But I'm doing my show, so I'm not really all the way. I did listen to Kamikaze on the way there, but I didn't know this beef was I'm unfurling. There's a beef going on. And it made me, there was a moment, like I said, I asked Wes and a few other people, do I need to really pay attention to this shit? And it felt like how, now the stakes are way different. But this was the one moment where, as a black person, I'm looking at some shit, and the complexion of it kind of got me wary, right? Kind of got me like, do I really give a fuck, right? No. And I'm saying, so then I'm thinking about, what about white folks that be looking at the Kaepernick situation, and they like, I ain't got a bag and all of that, but do I give a fuck? Like,
I mean, I ain't never been beat by the police.
It doesn't affect me.
Fall on my radar.
Right. And it was just like, Eminem bars don't affect me, but something in me was like, well, this is still cultural. This is still of the moment. Let me see what's up. Let me open my empathy and see what it is. And I felt like, shit, if I could listen to 20 minutes of white rap, because this is a G-Eazy, Eminem, and an MGK download, then y'all could get yourselves a little informed on what's going on out here while Kaepernick is kneeling.
So that's your movement?
That's my movement.
20 minutes of white rap and 20 minutes of social justice?
Yeah, just get stay informed. Inform yourself on what's going on the other side of the color line. You know what I mean? There's a lot of angst
that you might want to empathize with. And there's some motherfuckers getting shot that need your attention.
Wow.
You know?
Thank you, Reverend D. Lemon.
Well, you know, I try. Do what you I can do. What else do I want to talk to you about?
What else is cracking out you in the world, man?
We spoke about power. Snowfall, are you up there with
I'm updated on Snowfall.
Snowfall is good. This last episode, it was a little slow motion. It's about to turn into something finally.
Right. I mean, see, this is what I'm saying. It's like they give you a setup, a lifestyle episode to set you up for the drama.
But what they do lifestyle-wise in this episode?
I don't know. It's just, well, shit. Old girl, the shit came to the head with old girl.
And that was out of nowhere. I didn't know who Shorty was gorilla pimping.
I mean,
she was hitting her with a lot of negativity.
I mean, she hit her with negativity in the beginning, before they got together. I thought she was trying to be sweet for a minute.
I never caught
and
that.
And she turned the pimp hand on him.
The pimp hand is,
you know what I'm saying? So he got
abrasive.
A little more into that character.
Right.
And I don't know if she did or her head, you know what I'm saying? But what else they had? You know, Cash trying to survive the drought, and Franklin, you know, getting turned on. The young cat that's selling the recipe.
Oh, yeah. You said Franklin getting turned on.
Yeah, he getting
turned on. Oh, turned on. The guy said, fucked him up. Yeah, that hurt me. But that's good writing, though, because that really made you pay. You really invested in them two really being like that. But after a while,
they had a little conflict from the beginning.
And then on another note, like, how much longer do you think they're going to have this fucking recipe? I mean, damn, Colonel Sanders?
Right.
I know it's only up the block. Right. We got to go to Oakland to find, I mean, shit. Nobody.
Right, but this shit only been 3 months, though.
It's only been 3 months?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's only been 3 months.
Okay.
But the other trip that shit is how much you going to trust this cat. See, the interesting part about Snowfall is that you didn't know what the fuck crack was going to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You didn't know the effects at this moment. You know what I'm saying? So when that cat right there hit the crack for the first time.
Right.
And then he was acting real shifty. Mm-hmm. You didn't really know that crack could really turn you into a, you know what I'm saying?
Crackhead.
Crackhead, devious, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No loyalty ass motherfucker.
Right.
So I guess the effects is slowly leaking out into the story. You know what I mean? Cause he off the cuff right now, and shit is gonna hit. But like I said, it's only been 3 months. Cause they said something, and then he was like, "Oh, that was 3 months ago." Like, damn, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So some shit like that.
Hmm.
So Snowfall is cool. I'm fucking with that. I've been on that Ozarks.
Yeah, I never got through season one. I heard season one was good, but I never got all.
Yeah, it's an interesting show. It's a slow move. It's a slow burn. They, you know, this season they doing a lot. I think all of these binge shows and just the nature of TV, the writing, I guess they feel like they had to throw in all of these twists and turns and fucking situations and blowups and all that all the time. I think the Ozarks is catching some of that this season, but it's cool. It's a slower moving type of show where you gotta really be looking, listening, and, you know what I'm saying, dealing with white people angst for real. So, you know what I'm saying? I guess I get enough of that, and I don't have to listen to it in the rap. But I like Lil Ruth in the show. She real, you know what I'm saying?
Is that the young girl?
Yeah, young girl. trailer situation. Yeah, pops
she,
in
she
prison.
She was shifty, if I remember the last one. I like Jason Bateman a lot just as an actor. He's a beast. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, she was shifty, but she came around. She stuck in the middle of she don't know which way to go, whether to be shifty as her family has always been, or whether to move in this new direction and get official. So, you know, she caught in the middle, and you never know which way she going to go at any given moment. So that's what makes it interesting, that tension of is she going to be a little shifty trailer girl, or is she going to actually try to come up with some real shit? Hmm. So the Ozarks is just cool. I've been watching that shit. Insecure, we talked about that. You know what I'm saying? That's all.
Well, let the people know where you're going to be this week.
I'm going to be dropping off kids to school. You know what I'm saying? getting down to it. I'll be in New York, man. So just catch me on the gram at Mr. Muhammad, on Twitter at Mr. Muhammad. And then, talk to you next week.
Well, that's what's up. I will be here next week. I'm not yet. Look for me on Twitter. I'm still off the gram for a bit. Word. But, I'll be back here next Wednesday.
You learn anything yet?
From being off?
Yeah.
I do feel different. I feel like I don't feel like I'm missing out on shit. Okay. You know what I mean? You're on the green, you're looking at shit like, oh, damn, I didn't know that was going on. Or I should have. That's what could have been doing.
When you go back?
I don't know. I probably got about 2 more weeks, 3 more weeks.
All right, let's talk about that next week. We'll get into it some more. Take some notes during the week of, you know what I'm saying, your lessons learned and, you know what I'm saying, time gained and shit like that.
We'll see what it is. Until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.